Welcome back. It's time for Quick Bits because a lot happened this week and we're getting ready to go into trial coverage of the Commonwealth versus Karen Reed in Massachusetts. And that was what I covered on the podcast this week. We also need to talk about this wild TikTok defamation case in Idaho, Kevin Frankie suing Jody Hildebrandt, a new special prosecutor in the Russ case, Kohlberger's alibi filing, and more. So buckle up. And let's get into it. I'm legal analyst Emily D. Baker. This is the Quick Bits, where I break down just the main points of the pop culture and entertainment cases I'm currently covering on YouTube and the Emily Show podcast. Let's get into it. First, this week on the podcast, I did a brief overview of the Commonwealth versus Karen Reed. It is a case out of Massachusetts that is getting ready to go to trial. They are in jury selection currently. And they have the alternates left to go. So they will resume court on Monday, April 22nd, and we will see when they seat those last four alternates. Jury selection went quicker than I anticipated. The court has told the jurors that this case could last up to 8 weeks, but keeping in mind that the court is going to keep Fridays for administrative days and do half court days on Tuesday and Thursday. So it's really only three court days a week when you look at it. That case, the defendant, Karen Reed, is accused of killing her boyfriend, Officer John O'Keefe, by striking him with her vehicle and then leaving him out in a snowstorm to die. His cause of death included blunt force injuries to his head and hypothermia. The defense is arguing that this is all a cover-up, that Officer O'Keefe was killed inside the home where he was later found and then dragged outside and left there. It is a case where there are a lot of questions and tensions run very high. I am going to be going into this trial looking at what is presented. Can the Commonwealth prove their case beyond a reasonable doubt or not? What evidence is going to be shown in court? How will the witnesses testify? How will they be cross-examined given everything going on in this case, including a grand jury in this case, plus a federal grand jury looking into this case? All of those statements will be open for cross-examination. So if witnesses have given police interviews, grand jury testimony, federal grand jury testimony, there's the potential for multiple statements. And if those statements don't align, I imagine that the cross-examinations will be vigorous. So even though this case is quite polarizing, I hope that we will get some answers by looking at the facts as they come into court. If you don't have the Lawnerd app, go ahead and grab that, lawnerdapp.com or your app store, so I can keep you in the loop when I go live covering opening statements, because right now we're just not quite sure when those will be. In Idaho, during the hearings over Brian Kohlberger's attorney's surveys of potential jurors, we heard mention of the TikTok psychic case, which was an interesting collision because I don't know if anyone else is still covering the TikTok psychic defamation case, but we're covering this to the end over here. A TikTok psychic has been civilly sued by a University of Idaho professor for defamation for alleging that that professor was involved in and orchestrated the murder of the four University of Idaho students that Brian Kohlberger is being tried for. This case is in federal court. The TikToker is representing themselves pro se. And the last court hearing was on the motion for summary judgment filed by the plaintiff, saying that there is no material issue of fact for a jury to decide in this case. And based on the record, the court must find the TikToker liable for defamation. And the only issue that should go forward at trial is the damages. They also asked the court to allow them to amend the complaint to add punitive damages, arguing that the only way this TikToker will stop making the statements is if the damages include punitive damages. I personally think an injunction is also needed. But in listening to that hearing, the TikTok psychic, in arguing their case, said, essentially, I don't have to adhere to a cease and desist sent to me by a murderer, direct quote. And no, I don't need to submit any other evidence to the court because the things I said were based on my tarot card readings, my psychic intuition, and my omnipresence. I've never heard a federal judge say omnipresence, tarot, psychic intuition, or have to explain what is and is not considered evidence. The circular arguing of the defendant was not lost on me, but it also wasn't swaying this federal judge, who referred to the plaintiff's declaration that the things said about her aren't true as uncontroverted proof in this case because the defendant has put forth no evidence to rebut it. I think this motion for summary judgment will get granted, and I think that it should. But if this goes to trial on damages, it will be fascinating to see. Emily, will you be going to Idaho? Yes. Yes. Please let the timing work out. Yes. And it'll be pretty quick because it's just on damages. Continuing with coverage in Idaho, Brian Koberger filed his amended alibi notice. Remember, the prosecution back in July 2023 had noticed the court saying that the defendant's notice of alibi was insufficient, and they listed what needed to be shown under Idaho law. Under Idaho Code 19-519 and ICR 12.1, that the notice of alibi must include, quote, the specific place or places at which the defendant claims to have been at the time of the burglary and the homicides. Remember, both are charged here. And two, the names and addresses of all witnesses upon whom the defendant intends to rely on to establish such alibi. They then took issue with the initial alibi filing that simply said the defendant was driving at night. After the defendant waived speedy trial and this case got pushed out, the court reset the deadline for a notice of alibi to be submitted by the defendant. And looking back at what the prosecution was asking for, I think this filing complies with it. Will this be persuasive at trial? Is yet to be seen. We are a very long way from that. But in the new filing, the defense states, quote, the defendant moved to Washington in June 2022. He's an avid runner and hiker and explored many of the areas of the Palouse. They talk about him going to Wawaway Park in July of 2022 and this becoming a favorite location. They say that because of his schedule as a student at Washington State University, his running and hiking decreased, but he started going for nighttime drives. They say this is supported by data from his phone, showing him in the countryside late at night or early in the morning on several occasions. And it includes photographs taken on several different late evenings and early mornings depicting the night sky. They say as his alibi, he was out driving in the early morning hours of November 13th, as he often did to hike and run and or see the moon and stars. Well, was he running, was he hiking, or was he viewing the stars? I have questions. They say he drove through the area south of Pullman, Washington, and west of Moscow, including Wawaway Park. They say that the partial corroboration will come from Cy Ray, a cell phone expert, to show that the mobile phone did not travel east on Moscow-Pullman Highway. And then they attached the expert's CV. So does that alibi list his exact location? No. Does it list a general location? Sort of. But it does list at least one witness who they will put forth to substantiate the alibi, and that's going to be through cell phone data. So does that count as a true alibi as we normally see? It's close, but can I understand why the defense wants to file it so the prosecution can't say, well, that's an alibi defense and you didn't disclose it? Yes. Will a lot of this come in through cross-examination at trial of other witnesses to disprove the state's theory that he was there and to try to show that there's reasonable doubt as to him being at the house or that being his car that's shown on video? Yes. But with all of that, is there a specific location? No, there's not. There is a new special prosecutor in the Rust prosecution of Alec Baldwin. This is an additional special prosecutor to the existing team of Jason Lewis and Carrie Morrissey, who we saw in the trial of Hannah Gutierrez. It's not surprising to me that they added another special prosecutor, considering the volume of litigation they are going through with Alec Baldwin's attorneys, considering the number of attorneys that Alec Baldwin has, as illuminated by his motion to dismiss, And considering that they were working on things in the Hannah Gutierrez case while also trying to respond to things in the Baldwin prosecution, and the fact that I think the amount of litigation before this trial happens will probably ramp up, I think a third person is necessary. The new special prosecutor, or the additional special prosecutor, also has a background as a state and federal prosecutor, which will help, and has the added advantage that Baldwin's team has not already seen this lawyer in trial the way they have with the other attorneys and most of the witnesses that will testify in the Baldwin case. So it still leaves something from the prosecution's hand unknown to Baldwin's team. Interestingly enough, they didn't put out a press release about it. And finally, one last tidbit. Thank you to today's sponsor, Green Chef. Green Chef is the number one meal kit for clean eating, but it's also the way that I manage to eat dinner most of the time, because Green Chef takes up all of the tasks that are really a challenge for me, including menu planning and sometimes grocery shopping. You don't have to worry about any of it because Green Chef delivers meals ready to be made to your door with clean, fresh ingredients and a really helpful recipe card that is super easy to follow. Each week, you can choose from over 80 flavor-packed options, and you can pick from meals that suit your lifestyle, from keto to plant-based and paleo or protein-packed, gluten-free, or just quick and easy. And when you're ordering your Green Chef meals, you can add things on like the egg bites that I love for breakfast, but they also have other add-ons for quick breakfasts or easy lunch. Or you can modify how many meals you get a week if you need to, or skip a week with no hassle. There's no better time than now to try Green Chef for yourself. Go to greenchef.com/EmilyBaker50 and use code EmilyBaker50 to get 50% off plus 20% off your next 2 months. That's greenchef.com/EmilyBaker50 and use code EmilyBaker50 to get 50% off plus 20% off your next 2 months. Find out for yourself why Green Chef is the number one meal kit for eating well. Let's get back to the quick bits. For all of you that have followed the Oklahoma texting judge saga, this is a judge who was removed from the bench by the Judicial Council in Oklahoma, not just for texting on the bench, but for a lot of other inappropriate judicial behavior. We recently saw the attorney who was representing essentially the state in the removal proceedings for that judge file their motion for attorney's fees. And the citizens of Oklahoma had to pay attorney's fees over $111,000 to remove this judge. This judge, former judge, was on the bench less than a year, and the investigation file contained over 5,000 pages, and then hours of video and audio recording, interviews, and it included reviewing the underlying cases that this judge was handling and this judge's behavior in those cases. Absolutely a wild thing, but quite a substantial amount of work to get this judge removed, and something that is done very rarely. But that is kind of the end of the saga that was the Oklahoma texting judge, who will never be able to seek appointment on the bench again. But yes, is still at this time an attorney. And with all of that, that was the quick bits. We are going to be in trial next week, and I hope I'll see you in the live chat. You can stay up to date with everything I'm covering on our free iOS and Android app at lawnerdapp.com, or search your app store for Law Nerd. And you can also follow me on social media at The Emily D. Baker. Remember, I stream on YouTube on Tuesdays and Thursdays. I recap all of that for you in quick bits on Monday. And of course, The Emily Show drops on Wednesdays. Thanks for being a Law Nerd.